Really good first hour. Went a number of different ways with it, starting with an update on the coronavirus. And as I mentioned, that's not the way I want to start every single program, but it's changing and updating, and there's new notes and new stories and new developments every single day, and I'm continuing to track it right now, even throughout the show. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. As I mentioned, it's a really unsettling time, a very disconcerting time. It's a scary time. So we're talking about that, but we're talking about a number of other things as well, including a reset of Adam Hawk finishing the LA Marathon and somebody calling up and saying, look, enough's enough. Stop celebrating this guy as some kind of hero or warrior. What he's dealing with here is something bad that's going to get worse. Hawk, I mean. And if you think he's insufferable right now, wait till you find out what's going to happen over the next month or so. Coming up, we had Joey Logano, also in hour number one. Coming up next segment, we have the head basketball coach at Belmont, Casey Alexander. Coming up next hour, the head basketball coach at Penn State, Pat Chambers. I've got podcast episode 120. Cron Butler, and I'm going to push that out after the program today. It's going to be a good one. I know that because I've already done the interview. So look for Cron Butler. We'll have that after the show on iTunes, and all podcast platforms. 1-800-636-8686. All right, so remember when some folks thought that it was an absolute lock that one team after another was just going to throw itself at the feet of free agent Tom Brady and beg him to sign with them? Remember, he's never been an unrestricted free agent. Remember when Tom Brady made sure to like the Instagram post about Philip Rivers parting with the Chargers? Remember how that had people freaking out and photoshopping him into Chargers gear? Remember when everybody talked about that point and said that it made so much sense? I mean, after all, Tom Brady is from California. Remember? So people are all about that. He had that like on Instagram. He's from California. He's going there. But then, remember that time when Tom Brady was seen talking with Raiders owner Mark Davis? And then everybody turned their freak out to that. Like, oh no, he's not going to the Chargers. Check him out. He's talking to Mark Davis in public. He's a Raider. Of course that means he's going to the Raiders. But never mind that the Raiders make almost no sense for Tom Brady. John Gruden would just wear the old man out like he does all of his quarterbacks. The Raiders were going to Vegas, though. They needed to sell tickets. So you know what? Gruden or not, system or not, it makes sense. He's talking to the guy with the bowl haircut, and they need to sell tickets. He's not going to L.A. He's going to Vegas. But then, remember that time when everybody was talking about how the 49ers were jumping in this thing and that Brady would end up there? And then we got a boatload of trivia, like the fact that Jimmy Garoppolo used to be Tom Brady's backup in New England. Like, how wild is that? Brady held him off in New England. Jimmy G had to go to Frisco. And now Brady is going to go to San Francisco, finish off Garoppolo, but Garoppolo could go back to New England. I mean, like, boom! Blow your mind kind of stuff. Again, never mind that Brady is a terrible fit for Kyle Shanahan's current offense. But did you know that Tom Brady is not only from California, but he grew up in the Bay Area and was a huge 49ers fan? Like, all these things, right? Oh, and then remember when Tom Brady and Julian Edelman hilariously went to a North Carolina-Syracuse basketball game. Two schools that neither of them went to. And no, that wasn't just another desperate act by a guy desperately grabbing pub. Not at all. That's not what that was. What that was an opportunity to see the future 14th seed in the ACC tourney taking on the future 6th seed in the ACC tourney. And whenever an opportunity like that comes along, man, you seize it. You jump on that. Everybody knows that. Oh, and do you remember when they did that? That they FaceTimed with Mike Vrabel. And everybody immediately assumed that that meant that Brady was going to the Titans. I mean, did you know that Brady and Mike Vrabel are friends? And as long as we're remembering some times, remember when yours truly told you the only person who benefited from all these rumors about Brady and where Tom Brady might go was Tom Brady. I mean, I guess maybe there's a chance that these rumors are true, but more likely it was a dude looking to pump up the market for himself in order to get some leverage, because as everybody knows, you need multiple buyers to get top dollar. And in order to do that, you've got to make it look like there's a ton of interest out there for you, even if there's not. And there might not be, because according to Ian Rappaport, the Titans are focused on getting a long-term extension done with Ryan Tannehill. Reportedly, Tannehill is their priority and not the so-called GOAT, which makes sense, right? Maybe in a vacuum, you'd rather have Tom Brady over Ryan Tannehill because of playoff experience and the fact that he's Tom Brady. But they're not operating in a vacuum. He might be Brady, or what's left of Brady at 43, but this is not a plug-and-play situation. It might not be as easy as just swapping out Tannehill for Brady and going right to the Super Bowl, because they know what they have in Tannehill. They know how he fits that offense. They know how close they came to the Super Bowl with that quarterback in that offense. They don't know exactly how Brady would fit, or better yet, how they'd have to change their offense to fit Brady. They already know it fits Tannehill. He nearly had them in the Super Bowl. See, the reality is, Tennessee went to the AFC Championship game with Tannehill as their quarterback. They know what they have in him. They know what they have in offensive coordinator Arthur Smith. They might not want to break that up to take a run at Tom Brady. I mean, I know that sounds crazy. They might not want to break up Ryan Tannehill for Tom Brady. So you know what? You might want to cross the Titans off that alleged list of teams falling all over themselves to sign Brady. You might want to do that. And here's the other level of reality. From the moment that it was clear that Brady was going to become a free agent until right now, pretty much nothing has changed. This has always been about what Tom Brady wants and what New England is willing to give to him. Brady obviously has to decide what's most important to him now. If it's getting top dollar and being told how awesome he is and how much he means to the head coach and the organization, he may as well hit the bricks, because we know he's not going to get that from the hood. Bill Belichick is not going to pay him as much as somebody else might.
Hit the bricks, pal.
Bill Belichick sure as hell is not going to tell him how special he is, because to Belichick, he's not. He's just one of 53. Now, if it were me, and I were Tom Brady, that would piss me off. Everybody wants to feel wanted. Everybody wants to be treated with respect. Everybody wants to be paid. And especially if you're that guy and you've earned all those things. And if your boss is a jerk who wears a hood all the time and grunts at everybody and is going to treat you, the alleged GOAT, as one of 53, I bet that would get pretty old. And if that's the thing that's most important to him right now, respect and appreciation and getting top dollar, then homeboy is already gone, because the hood ain't changing. Not for him and not for anybody else. And if the hood were already going to tell Brady those things, or I should say if the hood were going to tell Brady those things, he would have done so already. So, if the ring is still the thing, Brady is going to stay right where he is, and he'll leave money on the table, and he'll put up with being one of 53. Because the fact is, if winning more hardware and going out on top is his top priority, the Pats still give him the best shot. It's the best fit in terms of offensive scheme. The defense they have is better than what he's going to find elsewhere. The Pats coaches are better than what he'll get elsewhere. The Pats coaches are better. He might still be a sideline troll, but the hood is still the best to ever do it, and Josh McDaniels is still there for him as well. Hell, if they would just get this guy a little bit of help, he'd still have the best chance to win that ring. He might even have another one. If AB had not gone AB, if Josh Gordon had not gone Josh Gordon, they might have been looking at 14 or 15 wins. He also has to know that quarterbacks do not just leave a team and win a Super Bowl the following year, especially at the age of 43. That just does not happen. So, bottom line, if Tennessee really is not that interested, how much interest is there really in Brady? Is there really heat there, or is it just smoke? And even worse, is it just the act of a desperate pub hound, desperate to get teams to pay attention? Maybe it's never been as complicated as people have tried to make it out to be. TB43, the clock is ticking, my man. On free agency, and your career, and your best shot at hoisting another Lombardi. And that best shot is with that old man grunting on the sideline, whether he mumbles it to you or not. Hopefully, we only have a few more days left of this garbage.
Garbage.
And even if there is interest, and there may be interest, and there might be somebody willing to pay him what he wants, and there might be somebody willing to tell him what he wants to hear, they don't give him a better chance of winning than the Patriots. 1-800-636-8686. Hopefully, only a few more days left of that garbage.
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 You know why you're walking like that? It's the stress fracture. Surgery is next. Dear Jim, I know what you mean about getting big-timed by famous people. Sincerely, Robert Plant.
Hey, well, look, I know that it's probably not going to happen, but you're more than welcome to come along and see what we do. It's great fun, and I can tell you some great stories off microphone, which will really make you laugh.
Somebody asked me the other day, do you have any regrets? I said, I'm pretty good. That's not true. I regret not taking Robert Plant up on that offer to see him. He said, come on backstage. I'll tell you some real stories. Yeah, no, I'm good, Robert Plant. I'm sure you'll offer me that opportunity again. I'm kind of busy this Wednesday night. Busy doing what? I don't know, show prep? I don't know, that Thursday show in 2005 in the middle of a week, man, that was a big Wednesday for me, Robert Plant. It's the dumbest thing ever. I've done a lot of dumb things, but maybe nothing dumber than not taking Robert Plant up on that. And shock of all shocks, I never spoke to him ever again. How weird. I thought that Robert Plant would just keep coming around. I thought I'd have lots of opportunities to go see Robert Plant backstage. I handled that pretty well. Hi, May. You really need to be careful about some statements you make. Seriously, the greatest frontman ever? Did you forget Jay Stu getting loose that one night with KB? A super drunk dude with copious amounts of moles sounding like a goat is not a frontman. That's a super drunk dude with lots of moles sounding like a goat doing karaoke. Get it! Get it, Stu! Bring it home, Stu!
Open good takes and tolerant.
Jason Stewart in a karaoke bar with Kyle Brandt. Doing better, man. There is no video that I know of. Rome, if Hawk wants to slow down his aging, I know a guy who can staple his face to the back of his head. Regards, the spokesperson of Shantix. Steven PHX. It's pretty good for you, Steve. For anybody else, that's a two. Hey, Rome, tell that emailer to get off of Hawk's age. I think that he has aged appropriately in SoCal life. Signed, Lindsay Lohan. John in Huntington Beach. Very simple solution, and it's not what you would think. I'm not even going to say take the spike. I'm not even going to say that collagen, Botox, Juvederm, or whatever it is all the SoCals are hammering into their face is the solution. Not at all. Just hit that with some moisture, bro. Go to the drugstore, get some Nivea, or whatever it is they're selling. It doesn't even have to be expensive. Adam, just hit that with some moisture. You probably got Nivea for your feet after that race. Just rub some on your face. When we come back, Belmont head coach, or you know what, better yet, Bengay. Hit your face with some Bengay. Remember that story floating around that guys were doing that, like, hey, man, I'm going out. I'm going to the clubs. You got any Bengay? Why? For my abs, yo. That was really a thing for some reason. Try it on your face. I'm here to help. The perfect hire we can have is the one that's going to impact our business for years to come. So when you need to find that next person to help grow your business, LinkedIn Jobs will match the right talent with your open role, and they'll do it quickly. Because LinkedIn has over 675 million members worldwide. Count me as one of them. LinkedIn. LinkedIn Jobs screens candidates with the hard and soft skills that you're looking for. I'm talking about things like collaboration, creativity, adaptability. LinkedIn looks beyond the work skills and then puts your job post in front of qualified candidates who match your business requirements perfectly. This is how LinkedIn makes sure that your job post is seen by the people you want to hire. People with the right skills and the right qualifications and other interests that will help your business grow. It's no wonder that a person is hired every 8 seconds with LinkedIn. And why companies rated LinkedIn Jobs the number one hiring platform for delivering quality hires. Find the right person for your business today with LinkedIn Jobs. You can pay what you want and get the first $50 off. Visit LinkedIn.com/Rome. LinkedIn.com/ROME. I'm on the site myself every single day. Terms and conditions do apply. LinkedIn.com/Rome.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
It's March. Conference tournaments are underway. Getting ready for the NCAA tournament. So with that in mind, we are joined right now by the head basketball coach at Belmont. It is his first season with the Bruins. Previous 6 seasons as Lipscomb head coach. The Atlantic Sun coach of the year in 2019. Great honor in winning the Skip Prosser man of the year in 2018. That was a great coach, Skip Prosser. My next guest led Belmont to the Ohio Valley Conference regular season and tournament titles. Belmont clinched an automatic bid to the NCAA tournament on Saturday. Their head coach, thank you, Alvin. Their head coach is Casey Alexander. And if it sounds like I was being very meticulous and very deliberate in setting up his introduction, it's because he was on the line and now he's not. I'll find him. 1-800-636-8686. All right, with that in mind, I can set up the rest of the program for you. Casey Alexander is the head coach at Belmont. We had him momentarily. He dropped off. I will find him once again. Coming up next hour, Penn State head basketball coach Pat Chambers will be joining us. Coming up after the program, Caron Butler will be episode 120 of the Jim Rome podcast. Maybe you've heard Caron on this show, but you probably have not heard him the way you'll hear him if you listen to the podcast. Real and raw with an amazing story. I think some of you know about Tough Juice. I don't think you know the way he came up growing up in Racine, Wisconsin. Caron Butler had been arrested like a dozen times by the time he was 15. He'd already been incarcerated and was down to his last shot and somehow made it right, got out, went to UConn, played for Jim Calhoun, played 2 years there, was a co-Big East player of the year, drafted by the Miami Heat. Just an amazing story, an amazing guy. One of my favorite athletes ever, Caron Butler. So we ran him down for the podcast and he gave us nearly 45 minutes. Great, great conversation. And like I said, very real, very raw, and he talked very openly about his background, what he went through, the choices he made, and how he overcame. So Caron Butler after the program is part of the podcast. Now, I did read you the resume as I lost him, but he is back. First season with Belmont, the Atlantic Sun Coach of the Year in 2019, the Skip Prosser Man of the Year in 2018. As I mentioned, he led Belmont to the Ohio Valley Conference regular season and tournament titles. They did clinch an automatic bid to the tourney on Saturday. Casey Alexander is my guest. Casey, it's good to have you back. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. It's my pleasure. Sorry for the problem there.
Not at all. That'll happen. So before we get into the amazing ending of that conference championship game, you and I did talk a couple of years back when you were at Lipscomb, and we talked about your time as a player and an assistant at Belmont, even going back to when you were facing that so-called dork defense that Lipscomb threw at you. Knowing all of that, what was your reaction when Belmont reached out to you after Rick Byrd retired?
Well, there was a little bit of anticipation that it might happen. The two schools are only 2 miles apart. I've stayed pretty close to Belmont all along as a former player and assistant coach. So I knew that it was a possibility. But, you know, our Lipscomb team lost in the NIT finals last year, so we played pretty deep into the season. And then it happened quickly.
You know, and then because you played for Byrd at Belmont and you worked with him as an assistant for 16 years, you know exactly how that goes, but he's an absolute legend. And then there's always that thing about not wanting to be the guy to follow the guy, but you took on that challenge. How have you gone about approaching it?
Well, the job's too good to pass up, to be honest with you. And you know, there are a lot of things that are in place here at this institution that sits right at the front door of Nashville. And so I had to take the job, even though I knew I was not going to be Coach Byrd. He won 805 games, and I've got about 700 more to go to get there. You know, it's been an awesome thing since day one.
Casey Alexander is joining me. Now, the thing is, it's not like you were only following a legend. The program also lost a couple of really key seniors. And I'm curious, what was your message to the team before the start of the season?
Well, that our only agenda was for this team to be as good as this team can be, and that's pretty vague. You know, we've got a great level of success here. This is our ninth NCAA tournament since 2006. This program is used to winning, but it doesn't happen by magic. We lost a first-round draft pick last year in Dylan Windler to the Cavs. That's the first draft pick we've ever had. We also lost our second leading scorer. So we knew we had some work to do, but we also knew that we had good pieces coming back, and so we could have the same kind of goals that we've always had here at Belmont.
So Dylan Windler and Kevin McClain both. And then you drop the season opener at Illinois State. You come back, you win your next four. You had a nice win over Boston College. But then on January 25th, you were sitting at 14-7 overall, 5-3 in conference. Since then, you've won 12 straight. So what was the biggest difference during the run?
Yeah, that's a good question. I've been asked a lot. And honestly, There was nothing substantial. There were some subtle improvements, but I didn't feel like we were that far off. We came out of a tough road trip that got us to 5-3 in the league at that point in time, and I told our team, hey, you know, don't panic. We have what we need. Let's just keep getting better. Let's find ways to win games. And then, you know, that snowballed in a positive way, and things just got better from there.
Casey Alexander, the head coach at Belmont, joining us right now. You beat Eastern Kentucky on Friday. You had the championship game against Murray State on Saturday. Man, that game was a battle. It came down to 11.5 seconds left. Murray State hits a pair of free throws. They get the one-point lead. What was the plan coming out of that timeout?
Well, we had an original plan that didn't work. We had saved a play. We have a side out of bounds play that is only, you know, that we only wanted to run in a situation like that. Never run it before. Felt like it was pretty foolproof and would get us a good look at the rim. As it turns out, I was wrong. We had to call another timeout, go to plan B. We ran another play. The play that we ran is one we've had in our arsenal and tried a couple of times this year. It almost always works as well, and so we went with that. And fortunately, guys executed it perfect.
Tyrus Scanlon hit that layup with 3 seconds left to take that lead. He said afterwards, quote, it's a play that we do practice all the time. With all that preparation in the final moment, there were no nerves. It was second nature and just execution. Casey, as a head coach, how fired up are you to hear a guy talking about how practicing that play and preparing for that moment eliminated all the nerves, and then when you had to have it, it showed up?
Yeah, that's exactly what you want, and we've got a team that's kind of built that way. We've got a lot of we're young, but at the same time we're experienced. I think we have smart players, guys that understand the game, and so I put a lot of trust in them. And Scan's a good example. I mean, he's a 1,000-point scorer. Even though we have 3 all-conference players and he's not one of them, he's a 1,000-point scorer. So that speaks to the balance on our team.
You know, it's funny to me because you're being very even-keeled about all this, and it's an exciting time, to be sure. But I'd ask you how you celebrated that win, but you had a great tweet the other day. quote, so coach, how'd you celebrate the big win? Well, my wife and I pushed 3 tons of Tahoe around the parking garage so we could plug in the charger and see if we could get it back to life after a 2-week resting period, end quote. So how'd that go for you? Were you successful?
Oh, man, that thing is running like a dream right now. I've had people wanting to know how they could get on the action. It's been great.
Listen, you get to the point where winning begets winning, but it's not just as simple as you showing up and rolling the ball out and then sitting back and watching guys do it. How much do you and the players make sure that winning begets winning by how you show up every single day and by how you do all the little things?
Well, that's what this program's all about. We've got some really high-level student-athletes here that understand what it takes to play on a team. And that sounds like coach speak and cliche talk, but it's the truth. We've got more academic All-Americans here than any other program in the country, almost double the next closest. We have 17. Butler has 10. We've got 19 straight years of 3.0 GPA. So we're doing it with the right kind of kids that show up and put their work in every day and do it together.
Casey, how does that show up on the floor? Like, how do you balance that kind of focus, basketball IQ, general IQ versus straight talent? How does it show up and manifest itself on the floor?
Well, the primary way is that we don't have to spend any of our time dealing with junk. You know, I mean, they're not perfect. They're college kids. But we're a very low-risk program. We're not dealing with discipline. We're not dealing with study halls. We're not dealing with makeup grades. We're not dealing with the stressors that come with poor choices very often. And that allows us just to be our guys to be student athletes and allows us to be coaches, which is ultimately the best way to go about winning.
Belmont head coach Casey Alexander, my guest. Listen, I know you can only control what you can control. I know you're focused on your own work, but as you and your team prepare for the NCAA tournament, to what degree are you thinking about coronavirus and how that might impact the tournament?
Well, we're not naive enough to think that that it's not out there, and it's very real. That's quite obvious with the decisions that are being made all across the country. I'm also not intelligent enough to have my own opinion. I'm trusting those that are in charge, and if they say it's safe to play, then we'll use all the precautions that we can and show up and play. And if they make other choices, then we'll deal with that as well.
He is the head basketball coach at Belmont. He was the Atlantic Sun Coach of the Year in 2019, Skip Prosser Man of the Year in 2018, and again led Belmont to the Ohio Valley Conference regular season and tournament titles. They've got that automatic bid to the NCAA tournament, which they clinched on Saturday. Casey, great to have you back. Thanks so much.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
You too. Belmont head coach Casey Alexander. Found him. All right. When we come back, I think that he speaks for a lot of people when he says, I may not be smart enough to know exactly what's going on, but I trust that the people who need to make those decisions will make those decisions, and then we'll follow along. In the meantime, we'll keep preparing. Coming up next hour, I've got Pat Chambers. Quick reminder, it is an enormous weekend of hoops on CBS, starting Saturday at 1 Eastern with the Big Ten semis. Then Championship Sunday gets underway at 1 Eastern. 2 automatic bids to be awarded, starting with the A-10 Championship, followed at 3:30 Eastern by the Big Ten Championship. Welcome to March Madness on CBS. Pat Chambers, next hour, my thoughts on the Players' Championship. Huge tournament. That's coming up. And you can still call me right now, 1-800-636-8686. If you're waiting on a sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Wherever work gets done, Grainger is there with the industrial supplies, safety products, and time-saving services that you need to keep your business running smoothly. See for yourself when you visit Grainger.com. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. I'm looking at a tweet from Mark Stein. Mark Stein tweets, the city of San Francisco has banned gatherings of more than 1,000 people, according to the San Francisco Chronicle. We still await official word from the NBA on the fate of the Warriors' home game Thursday night against the Nets. So that from Mark Stein. Once again, the city of San Francisco has banned gatherings of more than 1,000 people. The Warriors are at home Thursday night against the Nets. Still no word from the NBA. As I said at the very top, we continue to monitor this story. 1-800-636-8686. So you take away the four majors in golf, and there's no doubt that the Players' Championship is the next biggest tournament of the year. We can all agree on that. They even write that thing in all caps whenever you see it. And they hand out a gold statue trophy that looks strikingly similar to an Oscar. And starting early tomorrow, in the northeast corner of Florida, the so-called fifth major is going to get underway. No doubt it is the biggest stateside golf property for NBC, so they've got their non-golf talent getting in on the action to promote the event. A little cross-promotion, a little synergy. It's not surprising. For instance, earlier this week, NBC dropped a video of Carson Daly playing the iconic 17th Island Green par 3 with defending champ Rory McIlroy. It's too bad I have to do this, but knowing you the way I know you clones, and I know you clones better than you know yourselves, I have to say he was playing the Island Green. And when I say that, I mean he had a bat in his hand. He actually golfed the hole. I do not mean he went out in the water 130 yards away and played the role of the floating island for Rory to aim at. So, if you're feverishly rushing to your phone to get that tweet into my mentions, you can go right ahead and take the rest of the segment off. Yes, Carson made par. No, he did not sink the green when he walked out to putt. Let's just go ahead and move on. Another golf or non-golf talent that they've integrated into the coverage and the event is Jimmy Fallon. Obviously, Jimmy Fallon is a tremendous talent, enormous talent, maybe most famous for his involvement as a presenter at the 2019 Radio Hall of Fame induction ceremony. I know I was there. He also has this side hustle, a nightly talk show. He even worked on Saturday Night Live, if memory serves, for a bit, for a minute or two, back in the day. Anyway, he's doing all right for himself. So one bit that Fallon does on The Tonight Show is called Drop It In, where he has an athlete or athletes randomly insert a weird phrase that he gives to them into an interview and nobody in the media knows. It's super random. They just drop it in. Last year's Players, for instance, he had Adam Scott talk about going to a Reba McEntire concert. He had Tommy Fleetwood say that even a catfish is right twice a day. He had Tiger Woods give a shout out to Tony Danza in the stands.
17, how's that looking for you? How are you feeling there?
Yeah, iconic 17 was pretty cool because Tony Danza was in the stanza. And so that was pretty neat for me. I haven't seen him in a long time.
Tony Danza was in the stanza. Damn cat! The cat with the ultra rare display of personality. Yeah, it was kind of rare. There was Tony Danza in the stanza. So you understand the bit. Fallon gives these guys a funny line, a weird line, and they just drop it in as normal in an interview to the unsuspecting media. And then after the fact, you get some late night TV magic. It's a good bit, and it works. Now, it's unclear if Fallon is doing the same thing this year, but it sure as hell seems like it, because yesterday, Jim Furyk and Rory McIlroy dropped the same random line at their separate pressers. Here's Furyk first talking about Brooks Koepka.
Big shots, big putts. I guess you could say, you know, Brooks likes big putts. Cannot lie.
King of the bald guy hat tan, Jim Furyk, with a not so subtle nod to the king of Seattle hip hop, Sir Mix-a-Lot, and his 1992 smash, Baby Got Back.
Big shots, big putts. I guess you could say, you know, Brooks likes big putts. Cannot lie.
I like big
lie. Now, it's possible that Jim Furyk is a huge Mix-a-Lot fan and dropped that pun on his own. After all, Mix is now 56, Furyk's 49. I don't know, maybe that's wheelhouse material for Furyk. I mean, I never looked at Jim Furyk and thought to myself, my man's all about Mix. But I don't know, maybe. You don't know. Like I always say, we don't really know these guys. But then Rory got off the exact same play on words only a few minutes later at his media availability.
A big putt on 12 for birdie, and then another big putt on 15 after a great 6-iron. So, yeah, I like big putts, and I cannot lie. And
So either Furyk and Rory rolled into Sawgrass together, bumping rap music from the early 90s, or maybe Jimmy Fallon slipped them the same exact line, which to Fallon's credit is a great line. But it's so good that using it twice on the same day is a dead giveaway that something is up. Now, I understand that Fallon's probably playing a numbers game, right? Banking on a few guys, forgetting to do their part, or maybe deciding, yeah, I don't think I can pull that off. The problem is, two guys did pull it off. It backfires when both guys do remember to do it, because all signs are pointing to the bit now. Now, truthfully, I would have liked to hear one of these guys take it a step further. Let's hear Mix's opening bars one more time.
I like big butts and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny. That when a girl walks in with an itty bitty waist and a round thing in your face, you get sprung.
I mean, can you imagine? Can you imagine if Furyk busted out with something like that? You know, I like big putts and I cannot lie. You other golfers cannot deny. That's when a birdie rolls in with an itty-bitty break and your caddy yells, nice make. You get pumped. That would have been the best. Let's try that. If Jim Furyk busted out with something like that.
I like
big putts and I cannot lie. You other golfers. With a little itty-bitty break and your caddy yells, nice make.
You get sprung.
You get pumped. Like, I'm not going to tell Jimmy how to do his show, and nor am I going to try that again. He's got a damn good thing going, and he's really talented. But next year, maybe you just get assurance from one guy that he's going to deliver. That way, you don't have the same joke with two dudes who both do it and blow the bit altogether. Because your next show hasn't even aired, and we all pretty much have figured out that you were behind the I like big putts line, which isn't the worst thing ever, because it does give me a reason in 2020 to drop a needle on Mix.
I like big butts and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny. That when a girl walks in with an itty bitty waist and a round thing in your face, you get sprung.
Like, I understand that's a pretty high degree of difficulty, but pick the one guy you know who can do it. And let that one guy do it. Instead of shopping it around to multiple guys and saying, well, if I tell three or four guys, then one guy will do it. Because unfortunately, two guys did it and you ruined a good bit. You ruined a good bit. But then he probably thought to himself, yeah, Furyk's not going to pull that off. Rory might. Rory's got that kind of game. But then lo and behold, there's Jim Furyk just nailing it. And now the two guys got it. 1-800-636-8686. Like I said, anything that gives me a reason to drop a needle on Mix in 2020 is a good thing. So we have Jimmy Fallon to thank for that. Talk some Penn State basketball next hour. Remember, if you want to hit me up on my voicemail, I would encourage that. Dude, I wouldn't be running in here if I were you. Stucknut's in. Stucknut, the jungle historian, tweets, I hate mangy mutts and I cannot lie. Signed, Mike in Clearwater. No, it's I like big putts and I cannot lie. Not I hate mangy mutts and I cannot lie. I like big putts and I cannot lie. You other golfers cannot deny. That's when a birdie rolls in with an itty bitty break and your caddy yells, nice make. You get pumped. Thanks, Alvy. Picking me up. Making me look a little bit better. Pat Chambers next hour. Phone lines open right now. 1-800-636-8686. Don't you go anywhere. Hour number three, straight ahead.